Welcome everybody to Tellington Tea Touch for You, Cellular Wisdom. This is our May class for 2020. And we have a big, big, warm, wonderful welcome to all the new people who've been coming in recently. And also, of course, to everybody who's been with us over a period of time. And we are very excited to bring you today's class. And I will hand things over to Linda.
Oh, good morning, good evening, some of you in the evening.
You guys got to remember to record too. I'm not seeing it being recorded.
Yes, it is being recorded. Thank you, Cindy.
It is. I see it.
Yeah, great. I'm just attempting to adjust my light so I can see my screen here a little bit more. Sorry.
There. It's good to see you, Linda.
Hi.
Marianne,
lovely. And to see all of you here. This is, I mean, it's a miracle that we're here all together from around the world in the way that we are. When we started this cellular wisdom back in the fall, we had no idea of the situation that we would be in at this time. And what I find in my communications with friends around the world, we know that they're, my gosh, the bright side of what we're seeing, the difference to Mother Earth and to the animals and to the connection that so many of us are feeling and having and connecting. It is like a miracle. It's like a reset on the planet. And yet there are so many people, and I feel the pain and the fear that so many have because they have no concept of their future. And that is where I just am so grateful for having this opportunity to be with you. And I really want today to really clarify and emphasize our ability to help ourselves to deal with the fear through this heart hug. And for you, for instance, for many of you who are new, what we have found from just putting one hand over the other on your heart chakra, and let's just all of us do this together at this time. Just I'm going to check this. All right. And let's sit back together and take a deep breath. And give gratitude for this amazing bodies that we have, this vessel for our soul. This class is called Cellular Wisdom. And this concept that we can recognize this divine spark, this source consciousness that makes it possible for us to breathe, for our blood to flow, for our lymph to work, for this remarkable universe of collection of cooperating cells in our body, recognizing that we are miracles, makes a difference on the planet. And this concept that every thought that we have, that every belief that we have, every feeling we have, and every emotion that we have, that is energy, and that energy makes up our world, and it affects the entire world through this remarkable quantum field. And the fact that we are connected through Zoom, but the fact that we are connected through this divine spark, this source, this universal consciousness, and every cell in our body, that brings a connection of oneness And this is something that I began getting messages in the mid 80s about heaven on earth. And in these times that we are in, because for majority or many, many of us here, this has been a really special time, a really wonderful time. The fact that we can have this quiet to do things that we don't normally have a chance to do, this is like, it is a miracle. And with this imagining the face of a clock, for those of you who are new, because we have quite a few new ones this time, put one hand over the other on the middle of your chest on your heart chakra. And imagine that you take a clock off the wall, like our school clocks that many, many of us had, and put it here on the chest. Now we're doing this for a logical reason, because when we imagine anything, we imagine the face of the clock, we activate our right brain. And with that right brain activation, gives us this opportunity, it opens us to compassion. It opens us to creativity. It opens us to feeling and to intuition. And this definition from a wonderful little book by Judy G called Intuition, this definition of intuition, that it is the manifestation of divine consciousness within you. Receiving and understanding its messages will change your life and help you find your true path. And the fact that we can activate this intuition and that we can learn to trust it, which is how T-Touch developed for that touch. And the reason that we put these imaginary numbers on this imaginary clock, as soon as we put numbers on, we activate our left logical brain, and we could not be here together without logic. And this weaving that we have between an activation of both hemispheres of our brain, that's what happens with every 1 1/4 T-touch circle. So let us imagine that we just catch the tissue, however you want to hold your hands. You can have one hand over the other. You can fold your hands and do this, or you can even take your fingertips and just move the tissue. For those of you who are new, T-touch is not when you move over the skin, it's catching the tissue and actually moving it. Nice deep breath. We start at 6 and we move whichever direction you prefer up to the quarter. I'm going from 6 with a little up to 9, 12, 3, 6, 9. Take a deep breath. And just send gratitude into this body, into these 50 or 100 trillion cells, depends what you're reading, that make up this vessel that contains our soul. And let's just move in the preferred direction, 1 1/4, starting at the bottom at 6 and going around the face of our imaginary clock. Stop at 9 or 3 and take a deep breath and smile. And send again gratitude throughout your entire body. And the next 1 1/4 circles, let us send gratitude. Let us send love around the planet. first of all, to all of our friends and families, two-legged and four-legged. And then let us just send this out to all the people and all the animals on the planet to remind them of their connection to that cellular wisdom, to that source consciousness within, that they may not feel alone. And one last calming, quieting, 1 1/4 basic T-touch circle. A few of them I'm doing. And give thanks for our time here. I want to just remind you where this T-touch comes from. First of all, I had the astrological chart done for my 30th birthday in 1967. And in this chart, which I still have, it's a booklet, was the idea that in my lifetime, I would develop a form of communication that would spread around the world. And in order to do so, I would have to learn to trust my intuition. And this is something over the years I have done. I've looked for the milestones. What does this mean, this form of communication? And it's taken all this time to get to this point of realization because of these courses online that we've done, these trainings that we've done for a year now together. I've come to the realization that the communication is actually the communication between the cells. And so that you understand, this is such a simple concept, move the tissue in 1 1/4. It's such a simple thing. You think, what can this possibly be? And what has made me come to this, so you really get what's behind this. I first became interested in cells. That was never a concept of the work that I'd done before with massage for horses for 15 years in the 60s. And then the amazing opportunity I had to study with Dr. Moshe Feldenkrais in San Francisco from 1975 until 78. Because the cells were not a concept we had. But in the second year of our class, and I'm telling this to remind you again, because I'd like you to be thinking of the milestones in your life. How have you developed your intuition, this divine consciousness within you? So in 1976, one of our suggested readings in our Feldenkrais class was Man on His Nature by Sir Charles Sherrington. He was a Nobel Prize winner. And what he wrote that absolutely lit me on fire was the idea that every cell in the body knows its function within the body. And I just kept getting this along the path, these looking for the words that kept coming to me. What is this about? You know, what is this? Once I started the one bringing focus on the one in, no, on the circle, it wasn't 1 1/4 in the beginning. 1983, I was working on a horse with a beautiful Feldenkrais work. The horse was really quiet and normally wasn't quiet at all. And the owner said, "How come, Linda, that this horse isn't trying to bite or kick you?" And without thinking, I intuitively said, "Don't worry what I'm doing. Just put your hands on the shoulder of this horse and move the skin in a circle." It wasn't 1 1/4 yet. Just move the skin in a circle. And when I said that, I thought, wait a minute, that's not part of our Feldenkrais training that I've been doing so successfully. But I learned not to say, you know, what was behind this because I didn't know. So she went up and she just moved the tissue in 1 1/4. And the horse got as quiet for her as she was for me. And in that moment, and apparently, and Eleanor remembers this, because apparently we'd been doing in some of the circle stuff back, you know, when I was teaching these 7-week courses in California in the late 70s. But I didn't remember that. And I didn't focus on it because my focus was this amazing Feldenkrais work. But when I saw her do this, and this horse that could not be contacted, touched in any way without her really being afraid and aggressive, I thought in that moment, wow, anybody can make a circle. And it takes years to learn this beautiful Feldenkrais work. And that's when I left the path of the Feldenkrais and really focused on the circles. And in 10 years ago, I got another little clue, and you all have to realize and trust your intuition, because all I could get, like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? It's to support cellular intelligence. But, you know, this is before AIDS, and that means there wasn't much focus on cells. And I, again, something that's really important to all of you here. I was working on another horse in the 80s, and this horse normally did not want, again, another one didn't want to be touched. And somebody said, what are you doing, Linda? And this was just, I was just doing something before the circles. And I said, I'm releasing fear at the cellular level. And I'm bringing this piece in here because we're all dealing with fear from around the planet. And when I said that, again, I thought, oh my God, like, what? Releasing fear at the cellular level, what is that about? And I was really, really afraid in that moment because I thought my reputation will be ruined. I was doing a demo at that point for about 600 people for a fundraiser. And I went home that night and I called a friend of mine, Dr. Alice DeGroot. She was one of the first, she was the first woman acupuncturist who was a veterinary advisor for Equus magazine. And she's a friend of mine. And I said, do you think it's possible that cells can hold fear? And she said, Linda, it's only in the Western world that it's not common knowledge. In the world of Eastern medicine, that is common knowledge that our cells hold fear. Well, that's all I had to go on. I didn't talk much about it at that time, you can be sure. But in 1993, I know some of you here have read the book Molecules of Emotion, which, by the way, for the German-speaking people, it is also this, it's a major book, I think. And it is in German by Dr. Candace Pert. And she proved that our cells hold our emotions, and it's through these chemical connections that we feel it in the brain. These are pieces, like milestones, that really help to validate why does this 1 1/4 circle work like it does. In 10 years ago, Bruce Lipton wrote a book called with Steve Bowerman, a book called Spontaneous Evolution. And in it, he talks about, the intelligence of the cells and the fact that if we humans could live like our cells and our body live in harmony, in communication, in connection, then we could be on a peaceful planet. And it was this oneness concept that really I found such an interest in this, because I don't know, I bet you that many of you here in the 80s started getting this connection. I kept hearing these words like, learn to cooperate rather than compete. Learn to act instead of react. These were intuitive information that came out of the universe. It just came to me. And when I say now came out of the universe, it comes out of the quantum field. We now know that. And this is why it's so important to understand, to know that every thought, feeling, belief, emotion that we have is energy that affects this entire quantum field, not just ourselves. Now, I'm kind of laying this field for it because this concept that each one of us makes a difference. And what we've found is that we can release fear at the cellular level with this, we can release fear with this 1 1/4 circles. And one of the things that we've done is a study that Sandy did with Robin Bernhardt. We did it, I forget, gosh, it's 10 years ago. And again, they did several of these, checking quite a lot of people. And what we found is that when we are putting one hand over the other, when we do these 1 1/4 circles, that we can override the fight, flight, sympathetic nervous system state and come to a place of calmness. And instead of the activation of the sympathetic fight, flight, we can actually activate the forebrain and have choices. And the reason I'm bringing this up right now, I'd like to know how many of you in these difficult times have just used this heart hug, as we call it, 1 1/4 circles, to release your fear, to get you out of these looping thoughts. Because it's the looping thoughts. How many of you have that, by the way? I'd love to just raise your hand if you. It's quite funny, isn't it? Every time we come to this point, it's who doesn't have the looping thoughts? And the fact that we have this opportunity through these basic 1 1/4 circles to change that and take us from a place of the control of the fight, flight, sympathetic nervous system to the parasympathetic of rest and recovery. This is what we've done using over the years. We started it almost about 12 years ago in Germany in our courses. We started using the M wave and checking everybody and finding out, move the tissue in 1 1/4 circles. It's actually anywhere that you do it, and you can come into this place of heart coherence. And this is what I really want us today to consider whenever you come to a place of fear. Start using the heart hug. Whenever you really want another detouch, use this 1 1/4 circles around our mouths. Why? Think of the emotional, just try this, by the way. Just take between your thumb and forefinger and move the tissue. Like I can circle the whole, the lips here. And I like to do a little circle and a little slide. And one of the things that I really want to emphasize is get us to the point that whenever we have pain or fear, we can go to this heart hug or the ear touch, the mouthy touch. And we're going to talk about the ears because we need self-help. For so many of us, it's not a question of somebody gets sick right now, man. The first thing you're going to do is not go to the hospital. And with the ear touch, we have so much that we can do to help ourselves. So I would like to just, first of all, get a little bit of, so for those of you who knew, I'm going to go into some of the base, just real basics of this touch, so that you get the 1 1/4 circles. But before we do, I want to get a little interaction here. And if you could just type in the chat or just actually raise your hand if you have use this mouth T-touch in order to overcome fear or settle yourself. And can we just watch for hand? And I'd like to open you up. So can Sandy, can you get that? Marianne, you're on for the first time this time. This would be great if you could share a story. And well, let's just keep our story short because I want to get as much interaction as we can. And if in the process of doing this, you have a question about it, it's a good time to ask it. So.
For some reason, I'm not able to. Marianne, you might. Yeah, you'll have to unmute yourself and then remute yourself. I can't seem to control it.
Okay, thanks, Eleanor. Thanks, Linda. I think the most one that jumped into my mind, Linda, and I use this a lot, so it isn't just like a one-time deal, is I've spent a lot of time, a lot of people know me, I've adopted 3 special needs kids, and I've spent a lot of time in psych wards. And I would say the first time I signed my child into a psych ward was such panic, and it was scary for me, scary for them, scary for everybody. And I just automatically, because I've done this so long, went to doing the mouth work. And it's amazing how it all of a sudden kind of puts you in a place of calm, and then you can make much better decisions. I mean, it was amazing to me how, I was heart-hutting in the mouth work, in the ear work, which Linda will show. But the mouth work, to me, it's just so automatic when something like that hits, and within seconds, you start to calm. It's amazing.
Start to calm down. And Marianne, since you've been with us since the 90s, we have started now to talk about the mouth T-touch and the ear T-touch, because when we just say mouth work, like, and what is it? But if you say mouth T-touch and think, oh, what's that? And it gives us an opportunity. So we're working at retraining ourselves. Thank you very, very much. Did we see another hand? Eleanor? You know, you can go down and just hit the little share at the bottom and a hand will come up so it's easy to see.
Yeah, I'm trying to unmute. Oh, there we go. Whoop. Okay, Diane?
Hi, I'm nice to be here for the first time. I watched a lot of the videos too that we accessed. I just watched the Feldenkrais Summit, the talk Linda just gave at the Feldenkrais Summit. And I was pretty amazed at the doing it, when you went through the exercise in your talk there, at how really profoundly quiet, and I really could feel the change in the brain waves immediately. I also noticed the vagal nerve thing where, you know, tingling and warmth in my face and in the front of my body and my gut and my legs. And I thought, I need more of this. I really need to learn to nudge my nervous system in that direction. I find I wake up in the night, or like going to bed in the night or in the morning, with, you know, this heartache and fear. And I actually find it really hard to smile, you know, in those moments, like not during the day and so on, but in those moments, it's really hard to muster a smile or even some gratitude right now. So it's a practice for sure. I'm working on it, and it's good to hang out and just in the open-hearted feeling here and absorb some of that.
And this is why, I've been wanting to do this for, like, I don't know, since we first started our trainings a year ago. I'm, you know, I am feeling this emotion because I feel your pain, and we're going to talk about that later, about how not to feel the pain. But I feel it's really necessary to acknowledge that, what is going on with the fear. And a couple of times, well, I think about 2 weeks ago, man, it really got me. And I'm, for those of you who know me, I'm really able to, really, I've been practicing for years, seeing a half empty glass is half full. But how do I do that? And I was desperate. And I just, like you say, you can't, like, gratitude at that moment, you just feel the pain that so many people are feeling now. And so I sat down with my journal and I just started writing down my blessings for what, I mean, the fact that we can be here together, that we have this support, that I have a roof over my head. How many? I won't go there. That we have something to eat, you know, that we have a practice, we have some tools. And so it just brought me around. I mean, I couldn't get over how fast it brought me around. And I want to remind you of this. And the thing is, smile, like when you're in that pain, smiling is just like you think it's impossible. What I suggest you do is think of an animal you have or someone you love, but I don't know what it is. I'm just reaching. We can't have a dog here, but we're going to soon. I've got a there. This is my friend. And it's just amazing. Like, poof, this looks like a little stuffed dog, but he's really a spirit dog. And those teddy bears, that whoever came up with a teddy bear idea, man, I've got several of them. And Teresa Cottarelli, you're on here from Switzerland. I have your bear with has wings. He's a teddy bear with angel wings. Now I'm bringing this up and it might seem like funny, but the fact is it activates another part of us. It activates our heart. And Saskia, I know that you are really into kitties and Sandy too. And last night was fascinating that Nova had a big show on the fact that what cats do and how it affects our, and how the sound of cats affect us. And it's really different. So in this time, if we can think of something that makes us smile. Why do we want to smile? Because it activates the serotonin, the feel-good hormone, and we can start to fill our body with that. One of the things I really want to do is to figure out together, how can we bring those of you who don't know T-Touch to realize that you have to move the tissue, that going over the tissue is not it. And we have like 20 plus different parts of our hand that we use, just whatever is easy for you to use. And this is what, before I go on, I want to jump in because this is today what we really wanted to emphasize. And then I'm going to keep bringing you in and talking story to just validate how the experiences that we've had. But Sandy, could you bring up now, we'll shift to the logical part, bring up the nine elements, because one of the things that makes T-Touch so teachable is the fact that we have these logical nine elements that make up the emphasis where we want to put the work. And in the nine elements, we use it in a mind map. This mind map is missing some of the important things of the Tony Bassan idea. That is that we should have little images here, because in an ideal mind map that activates both hemispheres of your brain, you have an image and that helps. But we have the colors here and we have this beautiful shape and that little curve back. I've never seen that done, but we did it because it didn't, you know, to keep the lines from going off too far on the page. And I love this little loop because it gives shape. Now I'm emphasizing this because looking at a mind map rather than activating, than just having a list of these nine elements, again activates both hemispheres of our brain. And I'm probably not going to go in this today, but it is among your special bonuses in the on the website, you will find that we did a study and we found that in the circle with the moving the tissue in one of the circle quarters, either being T-touched or T-touching, that we had an activation in both hemispheres, in beta, alpha, theta, and delta, in the state of the awakened mind. But that's a whole other story. And that's what's kept me passionate all these years, because it's so invaluable to be able to access both the logic, the intuitive, the feeling, the compassion, and the intuition. So these are nine elements. The first is, and you read always a mind map from the upper right and go around to the left, the basic T-touch circle. And if we can now just, it's 1 1/4. And if we can put that down so we can have a bigger image so we can see a little better. And I would like us, boy, I've been teaching online for the first time, coaching. Yes?
Eleanor Chan has her hand up. So I'm wondering if she has a question.
Yes, absolutely.
Eleanor, I am going to unmute you.
Okay.
And you're very welcome to just jump in.
My question is about moving the tissue instead of just the skin.
Yes.
For me, it seems that I feel better when I go lighter and lighter to level. Yes. Sometimes I do the skin only. So, but you keep emphasizing we need to move the tissue as well. So I'm just wondering, I just need some clarification.
Thank you very much. Go put the mind map up again, and you'll see the second has the second arm of this. It's the second element is the pressure. And the pressure is a half a pressure, which is what I would use in it when I've broken a few bones here and there. And that's what I use. Like, it's not even a real one connection, but it's a 1 to 10. And we need to know these pressures. And when I say tissue, I'm sorry, it's moving the skin, right?
Okay.
It's moving the skin. Now, the lighter you go, I believe, the more effect that it has. But we find that in some cases, and I'm going to be showing you a little video that I made yesterday to give you an idea how I dealt about 3 days ago with some intense pain in this. I broke this humerus 5 months ago, my arm here, and I had intense pain. And I was using a 6 pressure. Now I'm going to jump right in, first of all, to the pressures and then the tempo. But the reason for moving over moving the skin rather than over it is that study that I mentioned. That was a study that I did. We did it 4 times with Anna Wise, and you can Google her. Anna Wise, easy to spell, obviously. And she worked for 11 years in the UK with Maxwell Cade, who developed the awakened mind state, the concept that an ideal function for a human is an activation in both hemispheres of beta, alpha, theta, and delta. And it's measured with something, an EEG apparatus called a mind mirror. And you can, it's easy to read all of this now on just Google Anna Wise. Although she's crossed over, her organization goes on very strongly because it's wonderful. Now, when we moved over the skin, we did not get an activation. We were all hooked up being measured, having our brainwaves measured. We did not get an activation of anything that you could know what was going to happen. But as soon as we move the tissue in 1 1/4 touches, movements, the skin, we did get that activation. Now, it's interesting, another big study that is in the book, all wrapped up that my sister Robin Hood and Mandy Pretty, my niece, wrote. What, there's a study in there, 2,000 people. This is really helps you to understand perhaps what why we're using mostly light touches. A 2,000 person study by the American Massage Association found that deep work activated more cortisol than help me, Eleanor.
Then the oxytocin.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry. Then the oxytocin. And what they were hoping to see is that it would get an activation of the oxytocin from deep massage. But they found they got way more from light contact with the tissue. And this is one of the things that we find when we move the tissue with the skin in a circle and a quarter, actually any movement of the skin activates that oxytocin. That is now what Bruce Lipton is calling the trust hormone. And there's a wonderful book, I really recommend a book called, it's just Oxytocin, the Hormone for Hope and Healing by Ken, you can write it. Yeah,
Dr. Stoller. Stoller, yeah.
Yeah. And it's an amazing book of how he was able, actually using our actual chemical oxytocin, how he was able to overcome extreme grief.
I think we did a book club on that, so people can Google that.
But can you give them that information?
Sure, I'll look it up.
Great. Now, why this is useful to have these details, these logical details, is to know, wait a minute, I had this, so much of this is just intuitive, but it's validated constantly. And the biggest validation right now, the final validation for me is right here. I have to reach for this in this book, and we're going to be giving you ways to order it, because if you Joan King unfortunately passed last year, but we've been able to get her books at the like $26 plus shipping from her husband. And otherwise they're hundreds and hundreds of dollars on Google. And the reason this is so useful, I believe, it's called The Code of Authentic Living, Cellular Wisdom by Joan King. Now, the reason this is important to me is I've been searching all these years to understand, like, wait a minute. Now, how is it that with this 1 1/4 circles, we can reduce fear? We can override fear. How come we can stop pain? What is it about this? And in this book, and Joan King for 20 years taught cell biology at University of Tufts, at Tufts School of Medicine. And then she read a legend. And it's on the back of this book. And actually, we have this in one of the bonuses that we give. What she discovered is that this Hindu legend. That at one point on the planet, every person had the ability to do anything, had all the power you could want to create anything you wanted. And then people started to abuse it. And at one point, the head Brahmin pulled many people together and said, look, we have to take away this power. Mankind is abusing this power. And so they had this powwow and they said, we'll bury it in the deepest part of the earth. No, they'll find it. Okay, in the highest mountain. Now they'll find that. And we'll drop it in the deepest part of the ocean. No, they'll find it. And then the concept came, wait a minute, I know where we'll hide it. We'll hide it inside. And nobody will ever find it. And this fact, that this divine consciousness, universal, creative energy is within each one of us. Now, that's a Hindu legend, but I wanted to know, wait a minute, I know that somewhere in the Christian religion, this is also that the kingdom of God is within you. And actually, I called Sage and her husband gave me the information. It's in the King James Version of the Bible and Luke. I can, if anybody's interested and don't know it, I can give it to you. I have it written down somewhere. But it's also in the Jewish, you know, concept that it's within and it's everywhere within. And this is what, when we realize that, one of the things that in the Feldenkrais Summit last week, when I was interviewed by Cynthia Allen, what she said, I see, you know, what this cellular wisdom is about. You're recognizing that within. And when we realize, wait a minute, every cell in the body knows its function within the body. Bruce Lipton, Al has been talking about it, writing about it for 10 years. Joan King writes about it. First sentence, chapter one, every cell is a genius. This is what, when you add that information to these basic tea touches that we're going to really now think, how can we help other people to learn this? For those of you who've been doing this for many years and teaching it for dogs and cats and horses, and some of you for people also, how can we get this across so that anybody can use it for self-help? We need self-help, and that's what this is about. So I would like to I'm going to interject a story again before we go to the pressures and the movement of the skin. And Eleanor, could you tell your story? Because we were just sharing with Sandy and Eleanor when we were planning this day. I said, okay, I'd love to hear stories how you've used just the tea touch in the last little while. And Eleanor had a beautiful story with the where you're muted.
There we go.
There.
Okay. You know, I didn't write it in my notes. Which was the one
when it was the one that you were sharing with.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Right.
So, you know, we're sort of all teaching online now, not in person. And it's like, how can we really make a big difference for helping people? And so I was teaching in a couple of summits, and there were a lot of people on. And what we did is we did the one where we're doing the circle and a quarter along the face. And, you know, we can call it the trigeminal nerve. We can call it the vagus system because that's my focus where I teach. But let's just go with that we rest the elbow in the hand, because if you lean a little too hard on the desk, you can do it, but you don't want to lean your chin in there. You don't want that into the jaw. So it's like you just, wherever you are, you lean the elbow into the hand and you start to go circle and a quarter, 6 o'clock below, 12 o'clock above. And the clock can be facing in either direction, and you're gliding the skin over the tissue. A circle and a quarter, meaning going up a little bit with a pause and then letting it glide back down. And then we just slide the fingers to the next area. It already elicits a nice breath for me. And it's so immediate. And we can go along the jaw. Now, for some people, we'll notice that when we get close to the ear here, for some of you, and you can wave your hand so I can see, but that when we get a little close to the ear, some of you might notice a wah, wah, wah kind of sound, like a reverberation around the ear in when we get close to that tissue. And if so, the vagus nerve comes through there, as does the trigeminal nerve. You might be the kind of person, I'm raising my hand, who is a little bit auditory sensitive. Like, you know, some people are sensitive to the sound of someone chewing food. There's a name to that. Yeah, so I see some heads nodding. Or we're more acute, maybe we're adorable, but acute in hearing sounds, and it puts us on alert a little bit more. That wah-wah is an indicator that the vagus system is more highly activated, and we can quiet it down and integrate it by doing these touches. So if you feel that, go ahead and move your finger away and just keep gliding the circle and a quarter, 6 o'clock below, 12 o'clock above, along that side of the face, and allow it. If you notice that you just get a breath and a sigh.
And Eleanor, if I can just interrupt it, what this came up, it was attempting to get over the sensitivity to the chewing.
Yes. So what we can do is we can sneak a finger over there, lighten the touch of that finger, but let the other fingers keep that circle and a quarter elsewhere. So what we're creating is a lovely source of integration. Do you see what I'm doing? So it's like you're still keeping the fingers elsewhere, and you can keep the finger around there, but do it in a way that is kind to you, that it works. And what it eventually quiets down. It eventually quiets down. And then as you finish, let your fingers come away. And a few things. Notice what that side of your face feels like. And even though you didn't touch the eye, what your eye feels like. And what are the quietnesses of the sounds out of that ear? And are those sounds okay? Yeah, so Sage said, this is so exciting. She was pulled out with the forceps, right? So she gets more sensitive on the left eye. And of course, the left side of the face is more implicated in the vagus system. So now we know that we can come in here. The left side of the face and the throat and the neck is more implicated with the vagus system. So we can go there and really give that quietness. Be polite about going with your finger there and then slide it back, make it okay, go back. So you're creating integration and being polite and kind to yourself. Don't drill yourself through it, right? And then as soon as you finish, what a difference in sound and in eye. Does anybody notice a difference when you let that go? Yeah. Oh, hi, Elizabeth.
So good. Did that help to reduce your sensitivity?
For me, greatly. And it was a different level of calmness and quieting in the head.
Yeah.
And of sounds. So since childhood for me, I have hyper hearing. Right? I can hear everything. Like I always said, I hear like a dog. Right, and my head immediately turns to it. And it doesn't take away the hearing like a dog in a good way, but it just brings a balance into the system. And there's a difference in the senses and breathing, in bringing that the whole vagus system can come into balance by doing the touches this way, and helps with tinnitus, the ringing in the ears.
And one of the things that, just to come up to this, where I first realized why the ear T-touch, which we'll go into after, was working is after a writing class I did in Germany, somebody where we've been doing the ear T-touch. And somebody wrote to me and we'd been talking about the fact that you can stop a seizure with this ear T-touch right in this area with a little circle and a little stretch. And we hadn't paid attention at that point. I hadn't looked to see where the connections are in the ears because we've been doing this for years against shock. I'll be talking about that later because it really works. But so somebody wrote to me and they sent me a picture of a little stroking thing that you could buy for, I don't know, $15 or something. And if you stroked right here, it would stop a seizure. I said, oh, that's interesting. I mean, they didn't say anything, you know, why, but it's right where we catch this. And no, I think they did say it had the connection to the vagus nerve. And that's when we started talking about all of that. And in I think what we need to do, Sandy and Eleanor, I'd like to bring back into this cellular wisdom. Let's bring the pictures of the ear and all those connections, because you'll see when we bring this to you today later why this ear T-touch works. And it's a little stretch, and that's what we normally say. And right, if just put your hand, your finger, your thumb at the back of the ear, and right in the center of the back where the ear attaches, you can feel it. So it's like a little divot. And what we found years ago, if you do a gentle circle and a quarter and a little bit of a gentle stretch outward and upward, slightly upward, that people who were having me at one point having difficulty differentiating voices across a room when you've got a lot of like dogs and people in the room, can't tell who's speaking, that changes. That really made a difference to me. And it's just a very gentle, what I found out later is that I had a Eustachian tube infection, and that was why I was having trouble, and that's really helped.
So Linda, can I respond to that? That I think, you know, what it feels like for me when we do that little bit of the ear pull, it feels like it's doing this really wonderful, gentle version of slightly stretching the nerves, right? A little bit of stretching the vagus and the trigeminal, for sure, nerve. Now, it's not like anyone should ever talk about stretching nerves, but the face and the scalp, the muscles tend to get very, very tight from experiences in life. That's why doing the hair massage, vigorous hair massage, or where we do the circle and pull of the hairs that Linda teaches, which is like, oh my God, all the way to the end of the hairs. And that feels so good, even for men that don't have hair on the head, you know, that, but we get so much with the tightness on the scalp. And I think it seems to me that in that tightness, the tissue bogs down the glidability of the nerve. So when we do the circle and a quarter, we're moving. And when we do that ever so gentle stretch, we're gliding the nerve in there because it's such an opening feeling.
It's really important. And we'll come back to that. We're going to take a 10-minute break, but before we do, Sandy, I would like to just put the nine elements up again and give us a little preview of what we're going to be doing. So I really want those of you who are new to this to get a sense of this. And for those of you who are doing it for years, I just really like something you're seeing maybe in a new way. So we have the basic 1 1/4 circles, and we've got the next is the pressure. And I started to say it's from half a pressure, 1 to 10. And generally we're talking, you know, on the face, 1 to 2, rarely more than that. And I'm going to be showing you a 1 2-minute video of where I used a 6 pressure on this fracture of the humerus here, like last week. And it really made a difference. So we're going to do that. Then we're going to be tempo, the pause, all these pieces. We're just going to do a little quick review and what that means to us when we're sharing this work with others, because this idea is to share this for self-help. You can call your friends and share it on the phone. That is the beauty. So let's just take a 10-minute pause and to get something to drink and come back.
Yeah, so in order to stop the recording, I have to take it off sharing. So I just wanted to let you know before I did that. And yeah. So it's 4 minutes after. So let's come back at 14 after. And as soon as I stop the recording, I will put the